there recently has been formed a National Citizens Committee for support of the WPA. This committee is preparing to aid in the formation of citizens groups for the support of the WPA, principal in every state, and in their coordination into a national league. A conference at the YWCA on June 26 in Washington will inaugurate this work formally. Tonight, from the studios of WOL, we present Congressman Kent E. Keller, United States Representative from the state of Illinois, and one of the outstanding authorities on the WPA will discuss the subject. Congressman Keller.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The unfortunate conditions which have beset our country for the past 10 years is a permanent condition. It has not been and cannot be cured by emergency legislation. It is purely a national question. It must be solved through national legislation. State lines play no part in it. State aid is a necessity only incidental. The whole WPA movement is our attempt to save some of the wealth creative ability of our people in the form of permanent improvements. The WPA is here to stay. It will pass or be modified only when a better fundamental method of saving the service of our people is provided. I have not changed my mind regarding public works since my speech on January 29, 1930 at Marion, Illinois, on unemployment, its cause and cure. The same idea, its extended form, were included in an address in the House of Representatives in 1932. My book, Prosperity Through Employment, written during 1930 and available in manuscript form to many of my friends and published by Harper's in 1936, was an expansion of that original speech. The more I see of the accomplishments of this greatest of engineering undertakings, the WPA, the more I study the effects of the circulation of the WPA dollar upon the economic conditions of the nation, the more convinced I am of the truth of my original premise that the only way to cure economic ills is to put people to work and keep them at it. Last week, the House of Representatives passed an appropriation bill providing for the financing of the WPA for the fiscal year 1940. The weakening of the WPA through this bill, due to cut in the already scanty request, the provision for its administration through a cumbersome and unwieldy three-man board, the payless 2 months vacation for every relief worker who has been employed for the past 18 months on a WPA project, relegate to state and local sponsorship the cultural and white-collar projects, and the elimination completely of the theater projects, thus discrimination against certain class of workers, all appear to be the result of a carefully worked out crusade against the philosophy underlying the public works and work relief program. We have accepted nationally the duty of providing against starvation and suffering from cold and lack of shelter. It is a national problem and must be treated as such if any permanent solution is to be had. It is a permanent condition. It cannot be solved by emergency legislation, I repeat to you. The problem of the American nation at the present time is to provide work, an opportunity to serve, a job for every man and woman who wants to work. To attempt to weaken the WPA is to challenge the American ideal of the right to work. We have been providing this opportunity largely through what we call the WPA for the last 5 years. The amounts appropriated have varied largely. When the appropriations for work have been comparatively large, it has invariably brought prosperity to the nation as a whole. Beginning with 1934 and for the next 3.5 year period, the appropriations were comparatively large and the prosperity of the country improved constantly. When the so-called economy complex seized us in 1937 and we cut the appropriations, recession immediately set in. This whole matter is shown clearly by the fact that our national income increased from $37.5 billion for the fiscal year of 1933 to $70 billion in 1937. If such government spending had been increased proportionately, we could just as easily have reached a national income of $100 billion per year in a five-year period. If we had done that, our tax collections under the present rates would have brought in an amount sufficient to run the government, keep every man employed, pay as we go, and begin paying the national debt. It is exactly by these means that prosperity will be restored in this country when it is restored. There have been two viewpoints regarding the way out of our national difficulties. One demands that we return to the old conditions. The other is that we apply full steam ahead. The attempt to return to the past can only result in a repetition of past suffering and misery. There's no road leading back to the past. The full steam ahead policy is our only chance to restore prosperity and make it permanent. Let us remember that the fiscal year begins on July 1st and ends the next June 30th. We are just now ending the fiscal year of 1939 and entering upon the fiscal year of 1940 on July 1st. During the fiscal year of 1939, we had employed on the WPA about 2.5 million persons. The appropriations for that year were $2,250,000,000. The appropriations for the fiscal year of 1940 is only $1,477,000,000, a reduction of $773,000,000 below the year of 1939. That means that we are going to take off the WPA payrolls a full 1 million men and women during the coming year. We ought to pause and ask where other jobs for these men and women are coming from and how they're going to eat. This is the land of abundance. There is no excuse for starvation. There is no necessity for idleness. Labor cannot be put on ice and kept until needed. It is a continuing force, and failure to employ it when it is ready is destructive to it. The loss from idleness in industry alone during this Great Depression has already amounted to $120 billions, more than three times our actual national debt. It is an irretrievable loss. Those who fear debt, fear that we are piling up debts that we cannot pay, ought to take into consideration the fact that we owed 17.5% of our national wealth following the Civil War. At the present time, we owe approximately 8% of our national wealth. We paid that 17.5% without great difficulty. For that debt, we had nothing at all to show. But for our present debt, however, we have $10 billion worth of permanent improvements. We are now producing three times as much wealth, man for man, as we were producing 75 years ago, and could, if necessary, pay three times as large a percentage of our debt as we were able to pay then. For the reassurance of those who have not studied this subject, I'll call your attention to the fact that if you were comparing our national indebtedness to our own personal debts, you would find the following. If a man owned a farm worth $10,000 and it was mortgaged for $800, he would be in the same position proportionately as Uncle Sam is today. If he owned a home worth $5,000 and owed $400 mortgage on it, the same comparison would apply. Or if a man owned a little home worth $1,000, his mortgage would be only $80. And no individual would worry over such mortgages as those. The men in control of the appropriation bills that have cut off 1 million people from the possibility of work during the coming year belong to the first division. They are the so-called economy bloc, who believe that we can scrimp and pinch our way out of our difficulty. They are the ones who want to go back to the old days and the old ways. There are two men who dominate the situation in the House of Representatives completely, Clifton Woodham, Virginia, and John Tabor of New York. They're both honest men and fine gentlemen. They're excellent politicians. They're shrewd lawyers. They know a lot about what the law is and little enough about what the law ought to be. They understand legal precedents but know nothing about industrial development and organization. Through political manipulation, they control the appropriations providing for the WPA, the greatest engineering feat of the ages, requiring the most diversified engineering judgment and skill, and it is extremely doubtful whether either of them could intelligently superintend the construction of a Chick-Sales edifice. But to make it worse, both these gentlemen refuse to accept the testimony of the engineers who appeared before them to give them the facts. They are both anti-administration, one a Democrat, the other a Republican. They have so maneuvered the appropriations bills as to prevent a record vote on those amendments, which would show where the House members really stand. Behind Woodrum, there is the conservative bloc of the Democratic Party, mostly from the South. Behind Mr. Tabor stands the entire Republican bloc, with the exception of about a dozen who vote almost invariably with the Liberal Democrats. The group of Democrats that vote with Woodrum, combined with Republicans, is sufficient to control the appropriations. These leaders know no more about the health requirements of the people than they do about the industrial and engineering requirements of the WPA projects and workers. Health department reports show clearly that the poor get sick twice as often as the well-to-do. They do not have money to pay for proper food, nursing, and medicines, and their diseases become chronic nine times as often as do those people of adequate income. The sickness mortality rates of the whole nation, including the poor, are now 30% lower than they were 50 years ago. But the mortality rates of the poor of the country are exactly the same average of that period. The general result of the slow starvation through undernourishment, malnutrition, and kindred abuses such as we are permitting in this country is the same in all countries, including our own. The weakness and reduced ability of to serve and earn detract not only from the happiness of the individual life affected, but detract from our national income. Through these individuals, we increase the public responsibility because they often become inmates of tax-supported hospitals, penal institutions, and insane asylums. The effects of which a destructive war visits upon a people. Let us summarize the whole subject by a comparison. The terrible and long-continued Napoleonic Wars reduced the average stature of the French people by 2 inches. The useless starvation we are permitting in our own country is reducing our average stature by 2.25 inches. Note the difference. The Napoleonic Wars brought combat, slaughter, and sudden death. Continued poverty brings slow death in dark places to our people. The war against this poverty is or must become one of the greatest struggles for the right of humanity to live full lives, to enjoy, to travel, and to serve. There is still one authority that can remedy the mistake that the House was forced to make. That authority is the United States Senate. I earnestly appeal to the liberal leadership of that body to amend the Appropriation Act so as to annul the betrayal of the WPA that took place in the House. I thank you and good night.